Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Link or Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Omega Metroid podcast from OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, reunited with Doominal Crossing after, I guess it was only 1 week off, but it felt like a little bit longer. What's going on, Doom? How you doing?
Yeah, I was sick last week, so I decided to take the week off. It's funny though, despite being sick, I still went to San Francisco for a show. I saw Lacey Johnson, who, you know, we've had on the podcast a couple times now. I saw Metroid Metal for the first time in 10 years, and that was such a killer show. It was awesome. They played a brand new medley that they haven't released yet. It was a Prime Boss medley. It was so freaking sick, dude. Oh my god. And it had everything that you can imagine. So
like Prime 1, or are we talking like Prime Trilogy?
Just Prime 1. But it was like an 8 or 9 minute medley. But yeah, it started off with like Flugra, then it went into Thordis, then Omega Pirate. I figured like, okay, we're gonna go into Meta Ridley next. No, they went back to Parasite Queen, and then they even did Hive Mecha, which I think is a severely underrated piece of music. And so I was super happy to hear that. And then they went into Meta Ridley and then the Prime themes. And it was just, oh, it was so awesome.
I actually can't picture the Hive Mecha theme, which is funny because I was like, I spent a lot of time yesterday on Hive Mecha. You know, I was kind of taking a peek at the guide that's in the finishing stages, by the way. And Doom did a great job on that.
Yeah, almost done.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll have to give that a listen. But yeah, that sounds super cool. For my part, I completely 100% finished the game that we are going to be talking about next week when inspired by Metroid Returns. So it's probably no secret to anybody if you've been following me on Twitter or anything like that, but I'm stoked to talk about this game. I'm pumped.
All I'm gonna say is that seeing your Twitter posts about this game has made me very happy. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it's we'll get there next week. But inspired by Metroid will return next week. Very excited about that. I should shout out to everybody that came and joined us for, we had Alien Knight the other night too in the Omega server. Well, let me refer, we had half of Alien Knight. We started a little bit late. We had some technical difficulties and we decided to call it after about an hour and a half. So we've got the second half coming up very soon. We paused it right after that scene. And everybody that's seen Alien knows exactly what I'm talking about. So a lot of good stuff ahead when part two comes up. We'll make a post about that and we'll finish that off. And then, we'll have a lot of fun. And just wanted to shout out the people that came and hung out. It was pretty fun, actually. It was a good time. And I think we hit the sweet spot. I think like half a movie is a perfect spot. An entire movie, it's kind of like maybe you start to lose some energy towards the end. We had a good time. So thank you to everybody that participated. That was great. All right, Doom, we are. Actually, let me ask you a question here. That we'll get to eventually at some point today. But if I was to ask you, Lilith is going to hate that I'm asking this. If I was to ask you your favorite boss from Super Metroid, what's your answer?
Probably Dragon is probably going to be my number one pick. I love the fight. I love the versatility. No matter what way you take on Dragon, it's fun. If you do the quick kill, it's satisfying. If you do it the legit way, like, it's a genuine challenge that, like, feels really satisfying to complete. You know, it uses the Ridley music. I mean, so that's just an automatic W, if you ask me. Yeah, you can't really go wrong. I will say, I pretty much am in agreement with everyone. Lilith's Ridley take is one of the most insane things I've ever heard on this podcast.
I've been teasing her all week about that. she's like, I had a coworker at work come up to me that listens to the podcast and be like, what the heck? So Lilith, I love you, but you'll never live that down. Never, ever, ever. Which, but I respect Dragon, actually. That's a solid choice. I love that. And I guess I should mention, we're not done talking about Ridley. We're not done talking about Super Metroid. This is the final week, at least for right now, of our Super Metroid 30th anniversary celebration. We ranked all the bosses. We just had a retrospective on the game, what it means to us. And we're going to finish it off by bringing back, I think for the first time in a long time, I can't remember the last Mapping Metroid episode that we did. So Mapping Metroid returns today, and it is all about the fiery pit known as Norfair. And this ain't your daddy's Norfair from Nestroid. This is a whole other can of worms, and I'm super, super stoked to talk about this. Yeah, it's been 4 months since we did a Mapping Metroid, so happy to jump back in and really dive into, I'll just come out and say it, one of my favorite areas, I think, in the series right now. For anybody that has been following along, easy for me to say, with the Great Metroid Area ranking that we have over on Patreon, Norfair is currently ranked number one. And I actually think that there's a pretty sizable gap between number one and number two and three and four right now. So this is, for me anyways, like a real heavy hitter of an area, which is funny, because I don't even think it's my favorite area from Super Metroid, if you can believe that. But it's one of my favorite areas in the series. So I'm pretty jazzed to jump in and talk about Norfair today.
Yeah, Norfair is sick. I can't wait to talk about this one.
Well, let's just dive in here. And I guess we'll start off with, we'll set the table a little bit. So of course, Norfair is, It's kind of like a tale of two areas almost, because you start off and you actually enter Norfair fairly quickly into Super Metroid. Like, you don't have to wait a long time to get into there. You're in what I would say within the first hour of the game. But there's still like a segment of Norfair that's really kind of closed off to you and feels very final boss-ish, final level-ish when you get there. And it's funny because Super Metroid actually does this quite a bit in this game, where it has three really big areas that have different degrees of separation to them. Like, I think Green Brinstar, Red Brinstar, probably the most famous example, and Brinstar is ginormous in this game. Meridia is also kind of broken up in twos. Like, you've got the sandy part, you've got just the strictly water part. That divide is probably a little softer, but then you go right back to Norfair, and you've got the upper part, which is, you know, kind of the same. It's rocky, there is lava, but then you go down to the lower part of Norfair. That's when that iconic music kicks in. That's when it just feels hotter. It feels like sweltering a little bit. And I love that divide and how Super Metroid is able to get, like, it's almost like there's two areas in one for the bulk of their areas in this game. So I think the layout and the design of Norfair is really... It's really clever that way, because, like, so much of it feels like, I don't know, like, introductory almost, or, like, not as menacing, but then you get to the lower parts, and it's like, okay, like, now you're in it. Now the final parts of the game are approaching, and, like, now it's time to really ramp it up. I really love that dichotomy that this area offers.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, the lower Norfair, you know, it's, you know, there's the sense that it almost feels hotter. Well, it very much plays the same way in gameplay, too, because the gravity suit protects you from the upper Norfair magma, but in lower Norfair, it's so hot that even the gravity suit won't protect you. So even in gameplay, you know, it's not just the music, it's not just the atmosphere, like, it's actually, like, reflected in the actual environments, too, which I think is a really neat touch.
Yeah, I just think that, like, the structure I really love, because, like, you feel... Like, the bottom portion of lower Norfair, it really isn't, like, that big. Like, there's maybe, like, it's maybe like 30% of the area, but it feels like really imposing, really memorable, really massive when you get there. And I really do love kind of as well that you can go, I guess, like exploring in regular Norfair fairly early in the game, because it makes it feel a little bit more, or a little bit less like intimidating, I guess. Because like, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I start up Super Metroid, even to this day, I'm still just like, oh man, like, time to go to Norfair, like, get ready. And I'd say the same thing about going to Meridia as well. Like, I'm just like, oof, okay, now we got to do this. So I think that's like a really cool design. And there's something else about this area that I think really works for it in a weird kind of way, where it's like, there's one way in and there's one way out. And that feels very like, I don't know, it feels very like stifling to me again, almost, which I think adds to the atmosphere and like the vibe kind of this area. So I really think that it does a fantastic job in like just kind of setting that table and getting you prepared for, you know, what's later to come. Because again, when you go to the lower portion, there's one way in, there's one way out. So I think it also does a great job doing that.
Yeah, it reminds me of Phazon Mines, and I only say that just because, you know, I've been replaying a ton of Metroid Prime for, you know, the guide and whatnot. But, you know, most Metroid areas, you know, they kind of branch. There's a bunch of, like, interweaving paths and whatnot. But whereas, you know, you go Phazon Mines, or in this case, Lower Norfair for the theme of the episode, you know, it is very much a point A to point B. And it really feels like a gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the best way that you can sum up Lower Norfair. Everything about it is just, you know, even Taurian, I don't really feel like Taurian really feels like that penultimate gauntlet like Lower Norfair does. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that as well. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. So I really love just the general layout of the area. And it's a massive area, too, by the way. It's one of the bigger 2D areas, especially pre-Dread. But let's talk about some of the, I guess, like specific rooms or specific aesthetics. Because I think, like, a lot of people, when they picture Norfair, it's just like, okay, the fire area, which is fair, but like, there's a lot more going on to this area, and a lot of other different things that I also want to talk about, because I think just like saying that it's the fire area does a little bit of a disservice to it, actually, because there's like a lot of other cool stuff going on here that I really appreciate. So I wanted to maybe just go back and forth and talk about some of my particularly favorite rooms and the challenging rooms in this area as well, and we could kind of wrap back and forth with that. And the one that I want to shout out before I shout out any other rooms is the bubble room. And it's a weird room, but like it seems like it shouldn't be in Norfair, but it's this really ginormous room, and there's green bubbles everywhere. There's green bubbles that you stand on. There's green bubbles in the background. There's a little bit of lava everywhere, but it's just like this, I don't know, it's this really kind of strange room with a strange aesthetic. And the cool thing about the bubble room is there's like lots of different ways in and out of the bubble room. So there's a connecting room that takes you all the way back to your introduction into Norfair. There's the, obviously the top corner where you can get the speed boost. There's, if you're really, really good, you can freeze some of those enemies and make your way up into the top left of the bubble room and get a couple missile expansions and reserve tank. It's just like a really weird but cool room that feels like it's out of place almost. But it's also like one of my like main landmarks that I use when talking about Super Metroid and telling people like, okay, like it's kind of like a recentering point. Like, how far away are you from the bubble room? Like, go back to the bubble room, and you know. So I had to shout out that room because I think that it's just like, I don't know, there's something about it that just seems like so weird to me, so bizarre to me. And for what it's worth too, like, it's not just bubbles in there. There's really cool like statues and really cool just like other stuff in that room. So had to shout out the bubble room, one of my favorites in Norfair.
Yeah, I love the bubble room. That's actually the what I really wanted to talk about, because this is actually, Super Metroid does a really cool thing where like, very little of the game relies on nostalgia, but it strategically chooses like when, you know, to pull at those strings from the original Metroid. And that bubble room is actually one of those, one of those visual iconography elements from the original Norfair and NES Troid. And they even carried it over into Zero Mission. What I really like what Super Metroid does that even Zero Mission doesn't do is it uses the Mode 7 to create this rippling effect to really, like, show off, you know, the heat that's going on in the area. So, like, the bubbles aren't just static. You can actually see them, like, waving, you know, as if there's, like, you know, you know, like a heat wave in the distance. Like, yeah. And it looks so cool. It looks so animated and lively. And yeah, and then that one room alone, like, there's so much cool stuff you can do, you know, despite the fact that it's on, you know, the right side of the map, you know, it's almost like, you know, this crossroad section where you can access so many different portions of the map. There's so many cool sequence breaking that you can do with some single wall jumps and whatnot if you don't have grapple beam yet. Yeah, definitely that one room is like one of the highlights of Norfair for me.
I've got a few more here as well. I've got like a couple actually of really cool places in Norfair just because there's so many. So I guess let's keep it to Upper Norfair just for a quick second. One of my favorite portions of Norfair is actually, it's like connected to the bubble room, but immediately after you get the speed booster, that little runway that you have, I just like, there's something so satisfying about the first time that you bust it out and you're running and there's lava coming and rising behind you. It's a classic feeling that kind of gets taken for granted now, because I think a lot of other games do that. They make you use your speed booster as soon as you get it, but this one is very satisfying to me. And I'll mention too, actually, the room that connects to the bubble room, because there's all like the bricks and there's those little hopper thingamajigs that cling to you, not unlike Metroids, and you could just like crush them and go back and forth as well. I really love that as well. And I guess while I'm talking about the speed burst, or the speed boost rather, there's a room in, I think it's not technically Lower Norfair, although it's in like the very bottom left corner of the map, right where you get the grapple beam. And this is a cool room, because like, this is the first time in the series really where you're just like encouraged to use your speed boost to cover a wide variety of distance, or a wide gap of distance. So you speed boost, you light some power bombs to get rid of some debris, you speed boost and you jump all the way across this chasm to get over to the door that takes you to the grapple beam. And as an added bonus, this is actually also the location of what I might suggest is like maybe one of the hardest missile expansions in the game, where like you have to use your grapple beam after you get it to go back and grapple the rippers and get that expansion in the corner. And I think there's like four of them that you have to successfully grapple in order to get there, which is a lot harder than it sounds in Super Metroid. So I love that little area as well, actually. I always have fond memories just because, again, it's your first time just kind of charging it up and jumping off into the distance.
Yeah, see, this is why I can't turn floaty physics off in Super Metroid. Like, that sick air jump, like, you can't do that without the floaty physics. It's like, it's good. So cool. I love it.
I have, so like I said, I have a few more rooms that I want to talk about. One of the rooms I think that is, like, so awesome, it looks so fantastic, is in Lower Norfair, where you go in, and I believe it's, I think it's either after, either on your way or after Ridley, whatever. But you go in and there's all those, I can't remember what the creatures are called. We'll talk about creatures in a second, but there's those like xenomorph looking creatures that come out of the walls. So you blast one of them with a super missile and you go inside this rocky cavern, which is like inside of a dragon's mouth. Like the rock looks like a dragon. And you go inside and it's very, very dimly lit. There's those creatures there that illuminate the basically the room. And if you shoot them, then it gets darker and darker and darker. I want to say there's an energy tank in this area. Yeah, I think it's an energy tank. It's on the far right hand of the Norfair map. And you go in and you just got to navigate over. But and it's easy enough. It just looks like so cool, though. Like, the room and the dragon rocks and like it just looks like this ancient statue that like this old like creepy civilization built to honor this dragon that is residing in Lower Norfair. So that's another one of my favorites in this room. I think it looks like so awesome.
Yeah, if we're gonna talk about like ancient statues, the entrance to Lower Norfair is so freaking sick. I love that whole room. And it really a really cool way to show off the space jump, I feel like, as well, in conjunction with the gravity suit, like, because it starts off as like a basic rock formation, and then like you don't even realize it's transforming into a dragon until you're on the other side. It's such a really cool subtle bait and switch. I love it.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah, there's another room I want to talk about, and we talked about this during during our first 30th anniversary discussion, but it's a core memory that is heavily associated with this game, and that is the room where you get the wave beam, specifically because my first time playing Super Metroid, I got it way earlier than I was supposed to, and I knew I was getting it earlier than I was supposed to, despite, you know, not having a guide and, you know, not knowing anything about this game. And so that, you know, that early wave beam strategy really has a special place in my heart, you know, just, you know, that sense of discovery. And, you know, even before I even knew what speedrunning is or, you know, glitches and exploits and whatnot, just knowing that I had the power to really push this game past its limits and do stuff like that was just something I had never done in a game before, and it was so awesome.
I agree. I wanted to talk about that room as well. Like, I think that it's, yeah, there's just a very satisfying feeling because you don't need to be, like, good at speedrunning. You don't even really need to know what speedrunning is. At this point in the game, you're probably aware of how to wall jump, and like, if you're good enough at it, then you can wall jump successfully to get your wave beam early, which is, like, kind of a cool sequence break. And I think that really encourages more sequence breaking because of that satisfaction. It's like, it's easy enough to do where almost anybody can do it, but it's still rewarding to do it nonetheless. So I really love that area as well. And it's just like a cool, again, it's just like a cool thing that the game allows you to do just by understanding. And I don't even know if taking advantage of the physics is the right word, because, like, it's pretty easy to do, but just, it makes you feel clever by doing it. And I always really appreciate that as well. That was certainly the first sequence break in any game I ever did. So I love that room for that as well. One other area that I think, speaking of kind of sequence breaking, that I've grown a little bit fond of is the room immediately before you get the ice beam, I think is a really cool kind of area because, I mean, like, even just on its own, I think it's a cool area. Like, you've got all the moving floors, you've got the doors that shut if you're not quick enough, and you're obviously not supposed to get that until you get the speed boost. But in more recent years, I've been trying to apply my hand a little bit at some more advanced Super Metroid techniques, and I was like, I'm gonna try Mach Ball through this door, and again, it's tough, but, like, it's not so tough that it's impossible, and I was able to do that, and I was like, oh wow, cool, like, I was able to do this, get the ice beam really early, and again, I just felt, like, very clever. So maybe that's more of like a, maybe that's more of like a, this just happened to be there, rather than, like, you know, something Norfair specific. But hey, I think it counts. I always associate it with Norfair, so I think that that's a cool little room there. And again, even without the speed or the Mach Ball, I think it's just like kind of a, it's almost like one of those rooms where it's like, like, Dr. Evil has a trap for Austin Powers, and there's all this stuff, like, slamming down. It's like, oh god, avoid whatever's coming out of the ceiling. So it is a very, very cool room.
Yeah, it's just missing freaking sharks with freaking laser beams on their heads.
Can you imagine, though, if they had sharks pop out of the lava? That would be unbelievable. Okay, I mean, they had
seahorses, so.
Yeah, they do, actually. Good point. That's, they're cousins, I guess. One last room, which I'll expand upon when we actually get to the bosses section, but I think that the arena that you fight the Golden Chorizo in is so awesome. Like, this looks so unbelievable. And you know what? I lied again, actually, because I also should mention, I think immediately after that fight in Lower Norfair, when you get the screw attack, when you get the, I mean, you already have the space jump at this point, but, like, you're in that ginormous room that starts to slowly fill with lava, and you're just like, ooh, and you got to, like, get out of there, and there's all these different platforms and space pirates and everything like that. That's a fantastic room as well. And I guess we should also mention, like, I could probably actually mention, like, every single room in Lower Norfair. Like, the statues just look awesome. The aesthetic looks awesome. The lava even looks more brutal than it does up above. Like, it's just like a wicked looking place in the game. Probably one of my favorites in the entire game. So, like I said, I could probably go on and on and on and on with specific rooms in Norfair, but almost every room is awesome. That's basically all anybody needs to know.
Oh yeah. We'll probably talk about this later once we start talking about the bosses specifically, but you did bring up Golden Chorizo, and I just wanted to say, if I was on the boss ranking episode, I probably would have been with you. I probably would have vouched for it to go a little bit higher. I think it's an underrated boss fight.
Yeah, I got done a little bit dirty on that dang boss ranking episode. But hey, he wasn't the only person in Norfair that got done a little bit dirty. All right,
there's another interesting room that I want to call out just because of how weird and almost, you know, even before Castlevania became a Metroidvania, it almost kind of reminds me of Castlevania and almost how medieval it is. But the spike trap door room, I always thought is super interesting because that's not really something you see in Metroid anymore. You know, you know, Metroid relies on, you know, either very ancient ruins or you know, advanced technology. And I guess this more fits the ancient ruin aesthetics, but nothing like this. You don't really see these like medieval, like brutal traps. And you can even see like what looks like a little bit of blood, like at the very end of like the spikes. It's like very, very un-Metroid like. And I kind of like it because of that. You know what I mean?
Is that the one that like, it's a very narrow, it's almost like an elevator that you stand on with the spikes and you go down?
Yeah, and there's like two or three different platforms, yeah. And like if you're not quick enough, one of them will crush you and like damage you.
You're 100% right. I'm looking at a screenshot right now, and there's definitely some red on those spikes. So, yeah. You know what? That is a cool room, and it's more Vania than Metroid for sure. Actually, I just played all the Advanced Castlevania Collection not that long ago. This is like right out of those games. So yeah, it's again, I just think that like the utility of Norfair just looks awesome. Like the aesthetic, like even and I wanted to bring this up in a second here, but like just the background pixel work when you're fighting like some of the, you know, those two space pirates that you got to fight, there's like Chozo statues like facing you in the background. They just look so awesome. Like everything in this arena just looks awesome. I feel like and the fire just looks punchy. It looks fantastic. And then you kind of get to, even like, you know, we talked about obviously the initial aesthetic, kind of rocky, but still fiery. The lower aesthetic, definitely dangerous and lava-filled. But you get to, like, this third portion that's on the very, very side of Norfair. And it's like, tiles. And it looks very, like, slick and very regal, almost. And like, it doesn't last for too long. And it's basically, you take this way to get out of Norfair. But it, again, I think just looks really interesting all on itself as well. Because you still have a little bit of, like, the hot lava from Lower Norfair, but you also have like this just really kind of, it almost looks like it's from like the NES game. It looks very slick and very polished. So I don't know, the whole thing just looks, I think, super super awesome to me. Let's talk about some enemies in this area. And my favorite one of my favorite enemies actually in the Metroid series shows up prominently down here. And I think that they have a legitimate name, but I don't know what their legitimate name is. From the dawn of time, I've always just called them Xenos because they look like Xenomorphs. And those are those enemies that pop out of the wall, and they come back and forth, and they honestly, they look like aliens. Like, they look like Xenomorphs from the movie Alien. I think that these guys look so awesome. I love that they're in the game, and again, they're really cool because, like, you could freeze them, use them as platforms, but they're also annoying and like, dangerous enemies. I love these guys. I think that they're fantastic.
Yeah, they are obviously inspired by Xenomorphs. Like, they are too closely identical to be a coincidence. But yeah, I agree. These guys are awesome. They look cool. I was super happy they returned in Fusion as well. Surprised they didn't return in Zero Mission. They did return in Other M, believe it or not, as a boss fight, weirdly enough, which is interesting. But hey, you know, I love these guys. I believe this is the first game where they appeared, because a lot of Norfair reuses some of the enemies from NES Droid. Yeah, this is an original Super Metroid creation, and they look so awesome.
And we should also probably shout out the so those seahorses are actually just called dragons. Go figure.
Oh, okay, well,
that's their official name, is just dragons. So I don't know. I guess they kind of look dragon-ish. I always remembered that in Pokemon, the third evolution of Horsea was a dragon, even though it was a seahorse. And I was like, okay. And they kind of look like the red version of Kingdra here, and they're annoying. They're definitely annoying, but good annoying. Again, you can freeze them, but they're the ones that just spit out those stupid fireballs over and over and over, and it's just like, ugh. So we should probably give them a shout out as well. Let's see. There's definitely a few other enemies that I want to shout out here. And I guess that what we should do actually is shout out the, speaking of, because we were just talking about them, those two silver space pirates, because those are kind of like very indicative of the type of situation that you're getting yourself into in Norfair, because they're tough and they're really challenging and I would say easily the most challenging like regular enemies of the entire game.
Dare I say they might even be more challenging than Ridley? Maybe. I'm not 100% confident on that, but they definitely, at the very least, they feel more annoying to fight than Ridley is, if that makes sense.
I don't know if I could go so far as to say they're more challenging than Ridley, but they are challenging. And I think if you don't know how to fight them, they could certainly be a lot to overcome. And it's all about that rhythm that you find with them, and you basically have to lure them into a pattern where they do their flying drop kick and come at you, and they're vulnerable for a second after they've landed, and you blast them right in the back. And I think if you know that, it's like fine enough, but if you don't know that, then it can be a little bit, you know, it could be a little bit dicey, that fight. So I think that those are definitely tough enemies. The toughest in the game. Tougher than Ridley? I don't know. I'll tell you that. They're definitely tougher than Crocomire. That's for sure.
Oh man, poor guy.
I have another enemy that I wanted to shout out, but I forget what the enemy is called. I was trying to see if I could find it, but this is actually a Nestroid enemy that's been reanimated for this game, and it's the flying enemy. It's a purple like visor, and it's got two little wings on the side. And I love the design in Nestroid, and I think that they look even more awesome in Super Metroid, actually. They almost look like they have Meta Knight's helmet from, like, Super Smash Bros. On them, but they look very cool. I wish I could remember what they're called. They're not, like, the toughest enemies or anything like that, but just like in Nestroid, I think that they stand out to me because they are, like, guarding the hallway that leads up to Ridley, which I think is awesome. And, I just think that it's, like, I think they're a cool looking enemy, and I thought that they look cool in the first game. I think that they look even more cool in this game. We're probably leaving out a ton of other enemies here, but I don't want to take up too much time on enemies, particularly because I can never remember anybody's name. So I want to talk about bosses here, and I got to talk a lot about bosses last week. So maybe Doom, I'll kind of give the floor to you, and you could talk about, because we have three different boss fights. In Norfair in general that we can expand upon. You didn't get a chance to talk about them last week, so like I said, I'll open the floor to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about him earlier. Let's get Crocomire out of the way. I mean, man, justice for my boy right here. He got done so dirty. My guy was just vibing, and then Samus just came in, just totally just wrecked his home. And then wrecked him as well in like the most gruesome way possible. And the thing is, there's no justice. Even if you sequence break and skip the boss fight, Zebes still explodes. So he's gone no matter what happens. And it's like, man, poor guy just can't catch a break. He deserved better. That being said, it is a pretty creative boss fight, and I really like that kind of tug of war aspect of it. That's pretty fun.
It's definitely good that they made it different than the Kraid fight, because I think you could look at Crocomire and immediately draw some pretty, you know, I guess reasonable parallels to the Kraid fight in terms of design. So I like that he incorporates movement a little bit more rather than just like, you know, standing there and being a big sponge and a big tank for you, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Andy's dog Link in the background. Let's talk about Golden Torizo, because I was really excited to talk about that earlier. I freaking love this boss fight. Any boss that just straight up catches your super missile and yeets it back at you is an automatic 10 out of 10 for me. That is like, I remember the first time that happened to me, and like that my mind was just blown. I was like, oh, okay, this is not the beginner boss. This guy is on a whole other level. You know, he's all regaled out and dripped out in gold too, so like, you know that he's like a high tier unit. I freaking love this boss fight, man. I honestly think this might even be a top five contender for me in the game.
This is the most underrated boss fight in the game. No one ever talks about Golden Torizo, but man, this boss fight is awesome. The That was like, I will never forget the first time that I tried to hit him with a missile and he just caught it. And I was like, oh my god, this guy means business. And now, of course, like, you can still damage him with beams. Like, that's no big deal. But there's just something so incredibly, like, badass about him just, like, grabbing that missile and being like, uh-uh, not today. This is not how it's gonna go. And I think, like I said last week, too, like, I just think the design of the Golden Chorizo is, like, awesome. Like, I think the Chorizo itself looks incredible. And there's just something so, like, there's something so betraying about going up to what you think is a friendly Chozo statue, and it just rises to life and starts trying to kill you. Particularly Golden Chorizo, because you're going to a door, and you're just like, you're not thinking about anything in particular. And he just falls right on your noggin, right on your head.
I love it. I especially love the juxtaposition between it and the first fight. Because the first fight, it kind of surprises you, because you're not expecting, you know, a Chozo statue to start attacking you. And then, you know, and that's at the very beginning of the game. And so you figure like, okay, well, that's one and done. We're done with that. All the bosses we're facing from this point forward are original creations. We're done with that. And then, you know, you're here, you are near at the latter half of the game. And then all of a sudden, boom, and it just drops down and it just completely catches you off guard. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's, you know, such a cool entrance. And as for the missile thing, have you ever seen the 2003 Ang Lee Hulk film by any chance?
Forever ago. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot. Because, yeah. I know. Very, very weird movie. Very long time ago. But the missile catching thing, I always think of that movie because in the desert fight, Hulk actually catches a missile in air. And in the movie, I was like, oh, that looks so cool. And every time I, you know, replay the fight, I always think of that scene for some reason.
You know, this is a sidebar here, a side tangent. I'm not really a big fan of the Hulk, actually. I think as a character, he's just kind of like, eh.
Oh, man. You know, Andy, you know, I'll change your mind. You got to play a game called The Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction. It's basically, well, actually, you haven't played GTA either, but it's basically GTA, but you're the Hulk, and it's so cool.
I don't dislike the Hulk as a concept. I just think the character, particularly like the more recent like movie adaptations, have been so like not up my alley that to me it's just the Hulk has almost like go away heat. But regardless, yeah, that's one other thing just to put a bow on Golden Chorizo too is going back to how it just falls on your head. I really like the element of surprise that this boss battle has, because like in Super Metroid typically. Like you go towards an area and you start really kind of like you get the sense that you're about to fight a boss, right? And like you can see it in the wrecked ship when you're just like something's not right here, something's creepy. I think there's something around the corner, and you go and fight Phantoon. Before you get to Dragon, you can clearly see that like you're building up and getting a little bit deeper. And at this point in the game, you're clearly on a mission towards Ridley. So it's almost like you're not even expecting a boss fight before you get there. And I think that the game uses that really well to its advantage to drop, like, low-key one of the best banger boss fights on top of your head, just to surprise you and say, like, no, this is not going to be easy. You're right, like, it's almost Phazon Minds-ish. It's like the gauntlet run to get to Ridley, which, in a lot of ways, like I said last week, I think is almost like the real final boss of Super Metroid. Not exactly, but I think in a lot of ways it certainly is the most challenging fight in the game, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, this fight definitely feels like the cloaked drone of Lower Norfair, if you will. Although I think this is way better than the cloaked drone by a mile and a half.
Yeah, cloaked drone is not too bad though. If you got that wave buster,
Or the quick kill with the super missile. That's more personal. Yeah, or
that. That was I was actually watching that right before we started. That's pretty slick. I might have to try that next time. All right. Ridley. Wow. What a fight. I think it's the best fight in the series.
Yeah, I love this fight.
Yeah.
I you know, it's not my personal favorite, but you know, I think that's totally valid to say it's your favorite, because yeah, it's a fantastic fight. I love it. It's you know, we've used the same terminology like on countless episodes of the podcast, but I love how you describe it as like this bare knuckle bar fight of just, you know, just two people just going at it. You know, you're tanking hits, but you're dealing those hits back. You know, in the words of Rocky Balboa, it's not about how hard you can hit, it's about how hard you can get hit. And that's what I love about this fight. It's, you know, it feels like a real boxing match. You know, two titans going at it.
Yeah.
Just completely raw. It's not pretty. It's not slick. It's you know, there's no like sleek acrobatics. It's really dirty. It's grungy, you know, and it really, I feel like it really encapsulates, like, you know, what Samus is feeling at this time. Because at this point, you know, Samus isn't commissioned by the Galactic Federation. This is a mission of, like, I'm rescuing my child and I am angry as hell right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm encountering, like, my longtime nemesis. Like, it is, like, it's on. And, like, you really get that that sense, I feel like, in this fight more than any of the others in the series. And it helps, too, that the fight itself, you know, even apart from all that contact, is just so much fun.
Yeah, you put it perfectly. Like, I think that one of the reasons that I like this fight so much is because, like, it's ugly, it's not pretty, it's not choreographed, it's not, like, it's nasty. It's a real brawl, and, like, I think that that's the way that it should be, because the Metroid series to this point has really built up this rivalry, and particularly this game has built up this rivalry where it's just, like, Ridley is this really nasty character that uses dirty tactics and really doesn't need to have any gimmicks or anything, because he's, like, that tough, and he can just basically destroy anybody in his path, and Samus is the only one that can really stop him. And I usually don't particularly like fights like this Ridley fight, where it's just, like, you know, I think that we called him a bullet sponge last week, which I guess is, like, an appropriate term to use, because, I mean, he is. He takes, like, a crazy amount of hits to be defeated, but there's something about that which I just think really works for the dynamic between Samus and Ridley. Like, I'm a wrestling fan, right? So, like, sometimes you see really, really awesome wrestling matches that look like they're doing these unbelievable things, and there's amazing acrobatics and choreography and stuff like that. And sometimes, like, if you have a really heated rivalry, you just want to see two people beat the hell out of each other, and it's not pretty, and it's not flashy, and this is, like, the epitome of that to me in the Metroid series, where it's just, like, this nasty fight between two powerful behemoths going at it. The music is awesome. Ridley's sprite looks awesome. Samus is fully powered, fully equipped, and, like, I think that really adds to it too, is, like, you're playing as fully powered Samus Aran, and you're still, like, being pushed to the limit by this version of Ridley. So I love this fight for that. I love that Ridley moves himself. Like, it can be very erratic, but at the same time, you could kind of slow things down a little bit if you need to, and, like, get into a pattern where you jump over him as he's swooping down and turn in the air and hit him with missiles. Like, I just think that this fight really is, like, kind of the whole full meal deal to me, where it's, like, it really encapsulates everything that I love about Metroid and just a big fight feel. So I like I said last week, I think that this is the best fight in the series. Which is funny, because, like, it's my favorite fight in the series. Maybe it's not the best fight in the series, but it's my favorite fight in the series. And I think that the way that everything's presented, the build up to this fight is just so phenomenal that it still like gets me every time. Like, I'm still, like, goosebumps. I'm like, okay, like, here we go, time for Ridley. And it's just, like, it's a short fight, but it's just so satisfying to me.
Yeah, it really earns that payoff, I feel like. And, you know, going back to the whole bullet sponge thing, I think the reason why, because I 100% agree with you here, and I think the reason why it works in this fight is because, you know, despite the fact that Ridley can, you know, tank so much damage, you know, you're always doing something in the fight. You're always involved. You know, we've talked about our unpopular opinions on the Meta Ridley fight in Prime before. And, you know, my biggest issue with that is that there's so much downtime. There's so much waiting for him to open his mouth like an idiot and expose his weak point. And it's just, you know, he's a bold sponge, but you know, most of the time you're just kind of standing around doing nothing. Whereas here, there is no downtime. You are always, like, moving around. You're always, you know, spamming your arm cannon. Like, you know, you're space jumping. You're going all over the place. You're dodging his pogo tail. Like, there is always, you are always doing something, and he is always doing something that you need to pay attention to. And so I think that is what makes this fight ultimately work out in the end.
Yeah, like, if you stay if you stay stationary, like, you're toast. I love this fight. I think it's so fantastic. I could probably, you know, talk a lot more about it. And we did talk about it last week. Almost had a heart attack when my pal Lilith ranked it number 8 of 10. But I still
disgusting.
Love you. I still love you, Lilith. Don't worry. All right. Well, let's talk about one of the other things that I think really kind of makes Norfair exceptional. And I would say that almost every area in Super Metroid does a really, really fantastic job of this. But Norfair and Brinstar in particular just give you, like, so much to do in these areas. Like, you're never far from getting a power-up or getting an expansion. And we'll talk about expansions, my favorite ones, in a little bit here. But, you get like the speed booster here, you get the ice beam, you get the wave beam, you get the high jump boots, you get the grapple beam. There's a lot of stuff for you to, you get the screw attack. There's a lot of stuff in this area for you to acquire and for you to get. And I feel like every time you go to Norfair, like, yes, it's kind of like this suppressing, sweltering atmosphere that you go in, but at least you kind of come out with something for your troubles worthwhile every time that you do go in. So I appreciate that about the area as well. And I guess we could just talk about expansions, because I do have a few expansions that stick out to me. Actually, there's quite a few expansions in this area that stick out to me as being, like, not quite like there's not really any Shine Spark puzzles necessarily. Like, this Super Metroid, I think, is still kind of figuring out, like, how it's going to utilize Shine Spark puzzles, but there's still, like, a bunch of really clever expansions that I feel like are in this area. So I have a few that I am thinking of here, but any that stick out to you?
Not off the top of my head, except for the you already mentioned the grapple puzzle with the Rippers earlier. That's the only really one I can remember off the top of my head. And then obviously early wave beam, but that's different than an expansion puzzle.
There's definitely a few that stick out to me as being, like, either challenging or just, like, I don't know, kind of neat to get. And I'll start off with one innocuous one. It's towards the left side of, like, the middle left side of the Norfair map, and it's a Powerbomb expansion. And it's in a square room with the save room attached to the bottom right of the room. And the thing about this expansion is that you're not supposed to get it. I don't think you're supposed to get it until you have the grapple beam, but like many different expansions in Super Metroid, if you just time everything well enough, you're going to be able to get this. So I always feel like, kind of like we talked about with the wave beam, I always feel a little bit accomplished when I get this. So there's a platform in the room. As you stand on it, it falls down to the bottom of the room. And if you time your jump just right and you put a little boost on your jump, you'll float up and perfectly land on the ledge and pop the door open with your missiles to get this Powerbomb expansion. And what makes this expansion kind of cool is, I want to say it's like the third, maybe second or third Powerbomb expansion that you get in the game. So, like, it's very early on to when you get your power your power bombs, and I don't know, it's just kind of like a cool little trick, I guess. Not even a trick, it's just taking advantage of Super Metroid's physics, but it's a cool little something that you could do in order to further equip yourself a little bit earlier. I also want to shout out the energy tank in the Krakenmire room, and this is another expansion that, again, you're not supposed to get until you get that grapple beam. But if you're okay with a little bit of damage, you use your jump. You don't even have the speed boost at this point, but you go back, you dash up, you jump all the way across, and maybe you land to the spikes, maybe you don't, but you come close enough, you get that energy tank, and you just kind of take the damage and come all the way back. I love that. I feel like it's very satisfying to me, just for whatever reason, in order to get that early. Because, again, you're not supposed to get it right away, but you can. And I would also say there's a really devious missile expansion in, like, the top... I want to say it's in the top left of Norfair. And it's in the room where... I think that there's a bunch of Rippers in the room, and you're supposed to freeze them, and you fall down. Or no, it's not Rippers, it's platforms, but they're pitfall blocks, and they immediately dissolve as you hit them. And there's an expansion on the... It's hidden inside the wall on the left side, and you have to shoot it, jump up, and be really, really quick in order to actually get it. It's kind of a tough expansion to get, actually. So, if for anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, take a look at the map. We have a video of this on OmegaMetroid.com, but it's tough. usually takes me a couple tries to get it, but that one I always feel like is just like a very challenging but simple expansion to get. So those are ones that come to my mind right away that stick out to me just in terms of like, I don't know, kind of like cool expansions that are hidden in the area. There's a lot more, obviously.
Yeah, there's one. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier because I literally mentioned it. But back when we were talking about the bubble room, there's a super missile that you're supposed to get after you get the grapple beam. But again,
yes,
come on, this is super Metroid, baby. You know that we're single wall jumping up there and getting that early.
Yeah, that bubble room, man, is so awesome. Like, there's so many unbelievable expansions that you could just get if you're good at jumping and wall jumping. I'm gonna shout out another expansion too, because it's like, you know, the beautiful thing about Super Metroid, which was fixed in later games, is that you don't get a whole lot of hints as to where the expansions are. Like, if you have your map, there's no like circle, there's no nothing. It's just like, okay, maybe there's something here, maybe there's not. I really love there's an expansion immediately outside of the speed boost room where you just have to stop, look up, shoot the ceiling, and it's like the easiest missile expansion you've ever seen. But like, you'd have to think to do that, and I don't know that a lot of people would think to do that. And I think that that's just like a, just again, just kind of a clever little expansion that's hidden there. And I guess, you know, I'd be remiss too if we didn't mention the energy tank that is in the room after Ridley, which has the broken Metroid tube or Metroid test tube or whatever it is. It's kind of a cool little thing. And I think, again, just kind of like really emphasizes the fact that like you're as powered as you're going to get. Like, go finish this game.
Yeah, that's true, because you get the screw attack from the Golden Torizo, not Ridley. Yeah. You don't get any items from Ridley, so
just an energy tank, and then you're off to the races. So yeah, those are some of the ones that stick out to me. There's obviously a couple of different expansions in there as well that we did not mention, but yeah, I really like have fond memories of those ones there. I guess we should talk about the music of this area, because this area is not going to be what it is without the music. And this is, again, probably an arena that that you're well equipped to speak about Doom. So maybe I'll pass the floor over to you.
Yeah, well, so the obvious one that everyone wants to talk about is Lower Norfair, and I gotta say, personally, this is my favorite iteration of the Lower Norfair theme, which is funny, because, you know, you think, you know, hey, Metroid Prime is the first game, you know, you heard this Doom, so obviously that must be your favorite, and don't get me wrong, that's a fantastic rendition, but man, there's something, and I actually talked about this with Lacey the first time I had her on the podcast, because this was one of the songs we brought up, and the thing that I love about this this original version of Lower Norfair is the staccato choirs, which basically staccato versus legato. Staccato is very short and punchy, whereas legato, it's very sustained. So basically the choirs here go, oh, instead of, oh, and I just really love those short, punchy bursts of the choir in this version in Super Metroid. And that always like really stuck out to me in this interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
I also really want to shout out, though, because this one doesn't get anywhere near as much love. I love the basic Norfair theme. It's very subtle. It's very atmospheric, but it's, oh man, it's such a good piece of music. I love just this slow, subtle buildup. I love, you know, the bass drums that are just, you know, almost like tapped in the background. Like, it really, you know, it really creates like this almost, you know, this almost like echoey effect that like simulates like being inside of, you know, of a cavern, which I just think is so cool. There's so much cool stuff going on in Super Metroid's music, man.
Yeah, I agree. I was obviously going to shout out the Lower Norfair theme, which is an amazing theme, but I really do think that the Upper Norfair theme is quite exceptional too. I think that maybe it's like a little bit tougher, because like you go to Brinstar, and I think those two themes are equally as beloved as each other. We're like, clearly everybody's favorite in Norfair is a Lower Norfair theme, so this one gets slept on a little bit, but it's trying to do, I feel like, a different thing. Like, it's not trying to be as like intimidating, because I think like when you hear that Lower Norfair theme, like, it's very clearly kind of like building you up, getting you ready, like raising your anticipation for a big showdown, which it does an amazing job of doing. Like, I feel like when, I'll just talk about Lower Norfair here for a second, but like when you're in the couple rooms right before Ridley, it's almost like that music is just like pounding on you. And I mean, the music doesn't get any louder or anything like that, but it feels like the closer you get, it's just like the more you can almost like hear that bass or that drum or whatever it is in that song. And it's just like, okay. Like, and that's part of like the really big fight feel and big anticipation for that Ridley fight. But yeah, like I feel like the upper Norfair theme is kind of letting you know that like, this is a dangerous area. Yes. But like, this is still, you're still equipped to like survive and thrive here. Whereas like when you get to the bottom, it's almost like that theme is like telling you like, turn back, dude, like you're not ready for what's in this lower cavern here for you. I'm sure that there's like technical terms for what I'm trying to say here, but I really kind of just appreciate that about the upper theme and just like how different it is. And I guess it is a lot more ambient than a lot of other pieces of music in this game, really, actually, because like Super Metroid has very kind of like video game music-y music, where it's like a fantastic theme that kind of plays and plays and plays, where I feel like upper Norfair, excuse me, is definitely a little bit more subtle, a little bit more ambient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think you described it really well. I always say you don't need to have a musical background to be able to describe music. You know, a lot of people, you know, are comfortable describing films, even though they're not film majors, which I think is great. I think everyone should do that. But when it comes to music, I feel like a lot of people, they get nervous to talk about it. And I say, no, absolutely not. Go for it. You know, obviously having a musical background helps, you know, knowing the terminology and whatnot. But like, you know what you like and you know what, you know, appeases your ears. And so if you can find a way to describe that in the best way possible, then like go for it. And I think you did a fantastic job.
One other piece of music, I mean, obviously we should shout this out as well, but like the Ridley boss battle, which isn't actually the Ridley boss battle yet in this game. I think in future games now this theme is certainly the Ridley boss battle. But like you said earlier, you get this theme when you fight Dragon as well. But this is just an awesome rendition of this theme too. Just like the perfect soundtrack to this perfect battle between these two big bastards just beating the hell out of each other with missiles and tails and body parts and stuff like that. This is like such an awesome, awesome theme that is, of course, like one of the most iconic in the series now. You probably ask your average video game fan that maybe knows a little bit about Metroid but isn't a diehard. They'd probably, if you asked him, do you recognize this song out of any in the series, they would probably say this one. But at the time, like, it was new and it was fresh and it was just like the perfect soundtrack to this fight. And again, it's so iconic, so beloved that we don't have to spend a ton of time talking about it, but we should definitely shout it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Ridley theme, like, it all started here, and it started off with a bang too. Like, man, what a hell of an intro by Minako Hamano. What a mark you left on the series.
Yeah, it's that theme goes absolutely hard. So just, you know, instantly, I think it was one of those ones where it's just like, ooh, we've got something here. Like, this is going to come back. And I think you could say the same thing about the lower Norfair theme. I mean, that's got to be one of the most featured songs in the entire series now. I mean,
it shows up
in Metroid Prime. It shows up in Samus Returns. Shows up in
Nintendo Land.
Can't forget about Nintendo Land. So lots of music that, of course, is very, very iconic here. And Norfair is no slouch in that department either. I guess to put a bow on Norfair here, like, I think when you look at this area, you get kind of the best of everything. You have three unbelievable boss fights, and they're different boss fights. Each of them is a little bit different and offers you different things. You have a slew of power-ups and different expansions, and some of those expansions are tough to get. You have some really, really cool sequence-breaking opportunities here with the wave beam, with the ice beam, probably more that I don't... Actually, for sure more, because there's like some crazy stuff you can do to essentially bypass that room, that Ridley room in the lava to get into the top. So like, there's tons of opportunity there. You have awesome music, you have an awesome aesthetic, you have an awesome layout. Like, this area really has like kind of everything going for it.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about Metroid Fusion, and I've talked about this before, don't worry, we'll wrap this back into Super Metroid in a sec, but like, one of my favorite parts of Fusion is the way the the environments evolve throughout the course of the game. You know, I've always talked about, you know, specifically that power outage sequence, how that's my favorite portion of Fusion. And even though Super Metroid doesn't really do it on that same level, I feel like Norfair, like in its own containment, almost has that same kind of progression. Even though the environment itself doesn't literally change, the way you navigate the environment almost makes it feel like a new area each time, because, you know, you're exploring something so radically different than, you know, you did on the first try. You know, you do the surface, then you do the Crocomire portion, and then you do Lower Norfair. Each section feels so distinct from each other.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that's a really, like, smart way to put it, actually, is like, because, like, your first visit, you don't have the Varia suit, so you're very limited, but you can still get a couple things. Your second visit, you do have the Varia suit, and you can explore and get almost to the very limits of Norfair there. But when you come back for the third time, probably more than three times, but you know what I mean. You come back for the third time, you're basically fully equipped and as powered up as you're going to get, and you really kind of unlock everything that's going on in this area. It's a really smartly designed area and offers like a ton of different things for you to do. It's always kind of rewarding you for going off the beaten path and you know, seeing what's over there, seeing is there something useful over here, which I think is a hallmark of like a really great Metroid area. I mean, you even look at the map and you there's not a lot of stretches where there's not something on the map for you to collect, which again I think is like a very important thing for a successful area to do. It's a big area as well, which is easy to kind of get lost into, but I don't feel like it's like an unfair area. Like it's big, but you can still get around quickly enough once you kind of get your power-ups and your shortcuts and everything like that. So this area really does have like a lot going for it. I think it's one of the strongest areas in the series. I think it's one of the strongest areas in the game. And I don't know, maybe arguably I think the area that I think most people would say that they look back fondly of in Super Metroid as their favorite area. I don't know. Do you think that a lot of people think that would say that this is the best area in Super Metroid? I've never actually thought about that before. Or do you think people would maybe side with Brinstar?
I don't know. Maybe I feel like Brinstar might be the winner in that, but I don't know. I feel like Norfair would be really close. Personally, I'm a big fan of the wrecked ship, even though it's a very small contained area. That's probably my favorite area in Super Metroid. I just love that whole atmosphere and just kind of that that little mini sequence with like the power, restoring the power and all that. But yeah, Norfair, you know, as we've talked about today, such a cool area, so much going on. The one piece of not necessarily the area itself, but like looking at the map screen, the one piece of the map screen that lives rent free in my head is that one section in the top left, where it almost looks like an escalator where you basically speed boost down. That one portion of the map, like, I don't know what it is about that, you know, that slope almost.
That incline?
There's something about that. Yeah, that incline. There's something about that. Like, when I think of the Norfair map, that's, like, the first portion of the map that always comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool little area, like, for sure. And you speed boost down there, and it's very satisfying as well, because you're just destroying a bunch of different stuff. That little area is actually right after that one area I was talking about earlier, where you have all the pitfall blocks and you get that one expansion in the wall. So I like that little area as well. You know what? I meant to shout this out earlier too, but I'll shout out now just before we get out of here. There's an area, and I think it's right after you get the grapple beam, but there's like this pool of water in that little room there, and I don't know what it is, but every time I get to that area, I'm always just kind of like, that's nice. It's almost like an oasis in a desert, you know, because it's like you're not expecting water to show up in Lower Norfair, so it's just kind of like, this is nice to see. So I wanted to shout that out as well, because I forgot earlier, but there it is, Norfair from Super Metroid, one of the classic areas in the series, currently ranked at number one in our Great Metroid Area Ranking side project that we got going on over on Patreon. What more can you say? Fantastic area. One of the greats.
Yeah, an incredible area, an incredible video game. I know we've said it a billion times, but like it's... You know, even though I didn't play Super Metroid until 2007, it feels so weird to say that this game is 30 now. This game is as old as me. How wild is that?
This game is literally, it's not as old as me. I'm pretty old, but my wife turns 30 in a couple weeks. It's older than her. I mean, that's like how long we're talking here. And just like my wife, when you know, it's still rocking at the age of 30. So it's I'm happy that we talked about this area. And I guess just to put a bow on our Super Metroid 30 year celebration here, if you haven't played Super Metroid in a long time, go play Super Metroid. Even if it's not your favorite 2D game, maybe even if you're a newer Metroid fan that came in with some of the latter 2D titles, even like maybe even Metroid Dread, there's still so much to enjoy and appreciate about Super Metroid and the mechanics and the physics and the atmosphere of this game that, you know, it really, really should be played and appreciated and honored, really, by all Metroid fans for just what a monumental achievement that this game was. So, yeah, shout out to Norfair, and, you know, happy birthday to one of my favorite games ever, probably my favorite game ever, Super Metroid, which had a big impact on me for sure. So, yeah, go play Super Metroid if you haven't played it in a long time. Let us know what your favorite area is. Let us know what your favorite bosses are. Let us know what that game means to you. We hope that you have dug these last couple of episodes that we've dedicated to Super Metroid. And of course, there's going to be a lot more to come in the future. And hey, for what it's worth too, if you want to hear more about Metroid and some other Super Metroid areas, including actually the wrecked ship, we did that this month. We got the Great Metroid Area ranking going on over on Patreon. So patreon.com/SPNet. We are ranking every single area in the Metroid series. And like I've said a few times, currently right now, I think we're about halfway through, but currently right now we have Norfair ranked at number one. So, hey, go check that out for a couple bucks. Tell us what you think of the list. Tell us what you would change and what you agree with. We actually had our first ever Federation Force area this month.
Yeah, ranking everyone's favorite area from that game.
Spoilers, it didn't do so well, which is a little bit unfair to Federation Force, to be honest, because like there are some levels that are pretty fun, just not the level that we did. So go check that out over on patreon.com/SPNet. And I guess that's pretty much it. I'll start getting us out of here. But any final thoughts on Norfair, Super Metroid, just before we wrap it up here, Doom?
I pretty much already said what I need to say. Happy birthday, Super Metroid. Here's to 30 more fantastic years.
30 more fantastic years, that's right. Okay, well, of course, we want you guys to check us out wherever you get your podcast. Go like, subscribe, rate, recommend, review, all of that fun stuff. If you got a Metroid fan in your life, tell them or they can get their weekly Metroid fix. Check out OmegaMetroid.com. If you want to play Super Metroid and maybe you're stuck on some bosses, stuck on some areas, want to play it a different way with a different level of guidance, go and check out our Super Metroid walkthrough and tell us what you think. And you know, maybe you're playing some of the other games. Go check out our walkthroughs, maps, all the strategies that we have there. And there'll be even more stuff coming pretty quickly to the website, so be on the lookout for that. And I think that's all the shilling we got to do. I'll mention too, you can check us out over on social at Omega Metroid Pod, at Spateri316, at Duminal Cross. And now I think we are complete. We're ready. And like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, Inspired by Metroid returns next week. And I am jazzed to talk about the game that we're going to be talking about. No surprises, I'm sure, but this Metroidvania, this is one that everybody needs to be playing immediately. So until then, everybody, take care.